Happy New Year and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight-figure e-commerce brands build incredible businesses and amazing lives. I'm Andrew Udarian. Hope you had a wonderful holiday season, a great new year, and excited to be back on the mic with you, kicking things off, doing a kind of a low-key episode, no crazy funky music, just straight into it. I want to talk about the last 6 months for me personally, which was honestly a really challenging 6 months from a work perspective, just a lot going on with work and life, and talk about how that manifests itself in my life, reflect on that, talk about ways I tried to cope with that, some of the lessons I learned from it, and just kind of, yeah, especially kicking off the new year, as we're all almost everyone listening to this is an ambitious entrepreneur. We push ourselves, especially this time of year, we're gearing up for a new year to crush it. And just thought it might be an interesting counterpart to that to think about what happens if you put too much on your plate. So we're going to get into that in just a few minutes. But quickly, before we jump in, I want to give a big thank you to our sponsor, Klaviyo, who makes the show possible. Klaviyo, powering the email marketing automation and engines of 40,000 store owners across the world. Pretty cool. I had a chance to really kind of dive into them anew this last 6 months. And just so impressed with how well you can customize flows going out, how you can build beautiful emails in their layout templates, how you can personalize things with dynamic fields, and how much cool data just flows seamlessly back and forth between Shopify or whatever cart you're using in Klaviyo. It's a pretty amazing platform. So if you're not using them, if you're not generating a meaningful amount of revenue from your email marketing efforts, check them out. They can make a big difference. So you can get started, check them out for free at klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. All right, so why was this last 6 months so crazy? It boiled down to four things for me. One, our family moved in October, November, bought a house, you know, all the stuff that goes with that, and then moving. So that was, moving is always a blast, right? Always just a barrel of fun. There was an Overlander, a project I took on with Drew Sinaki's team to launch Overlander.com. I've alluded to that in the past, and we'll definitely be doing some content on that in the very near future. It was a big project, though, responsible for pretty much developing a brand, getting private label off the ground, selecting a whole catalog, building the website, and getting it live in about 5 months. So that was the second thing that was going. Concurrently to that, we had our first ECF Capital deal that kind of came right after I agreed to do the Overlander thing, which played out pretty much from August through December. And all, you know, those two big projects both kind of had a very tight timeline that was wrapping up, either launching or wrapping up in kind of the holiday season. So both of them were coming to a head at the same time. And then just kind of standard COVID stuff, along with normal running the business, e-commerce fuel, podcasting, managing the team, growth initiatives, all that kind of stuff. So it was a busy year, and a busy 6 months rather. And I probably worked more than I have since I was back in my investment banking days. And I remember it was really weird because back in my banking days, I remember I would often be at my desk at 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night after working all day. And I would hear this noise, which was the vacuums, like the cleaning crew would come through, and we would often be there when they were coming through working. And so I used to hear it kind of at a very faint noise, and then it'd get louder as they came closer. And it was so bizarre because I started hearing that same noise when I was working in my office again. There was no vacuum, there was no cleaning crew this time, but something triggered it mentally, given the same kind of like, just, you know, a lot of work and same hours and stuff. It was so bizarre, but it kind of hearkened me back to that. And so before I dive into some of this stuff, I want to make a disclaimer. This, you know, this was largely, if not exclusively, a problem of my own making, of overcommitting, and then partially just of timing. Sometimes timing is bad and this happens, and it's by no means a reflection on the people I worked with. The people I worked with were fantastic. And, you know, so that's, I just want to throw that out there. It's more of, you know, an issue again of my timing and just, you know, things happening the way that they, you know, the way that the chips fall sometimes. So I wanted to talk about the downsides about this, because I think a lot of times as we entrepreneurs are ambitious, we see the upsides, but we don't always fully think about the downsides. And I'm someone who Man, I think I've mentioned this before. If I ever wanted to write a book, it would be about trying to understand where that perfect line to walk between ambition and business ambition and also family life, health life, all these other trade-offs. Like, where is that perfect line? Because the more and the older I have gotten and the more I've seen into the lives of entrepreneurs, I think the more I realize there really is no free lunch. And I hope this episode can kind of help kind of drive that home as well. Is like, you can't have it all, and something has to give somewhere. If somebody looks like they have everything perfectly together, chances are there's, you know, wheels are coming off at some point. And so I asked Annie, Annie is my wife, I asked her last night, I was like, what were some of the things you noticed about me personally with our relationship, with just our family, with everything based on this last 6 months with how much stuff was going on? And so I wanted to walk through some of those because some I realized, some I didn't even realize were externalities that were happening. The first one was Annie had noticed me, my kind of mental rumination, that I was always processing and dwelling on other things. And more or less it just, you know, last 6 months stole a lot of my mental time. And I thought about that, but I didn't think it was quite as bad as she mentioned, you know, just kind of always off either at dinners, not being engaged. We usually sit down with our family, I'd probably say 5-6 nights a week for dinner. And, but man, it was a lot harder recently to be engaged with stuff, with the family, because I was worried about business things or getting stuff done or, you know, trying to problem solve in my head. And so that was a big part. She mentioned I was less content with life in general, you know, in terms of my just general attitude. I wasn't as upbeat. I was, yeah, just less content with how things were. And part of it was just having less time, but just kind of a sense of less contentment she noticed. This is something I noticed and she did as well. It really affected my sleep really, really negatively. And part of that is just laying awake at night. And a lot of the stuff that was going on, you're doing stuff for the first time, you're working with new teams, you're trying to solve problems, especially on a deadline, and there's stress involved, right? And so a lot of the time through all these, a lot of these problems were, and the stress was not even so much the workload, which was heavy, but not insane, but the mental cognitive load of like, how do I make sure I don't let these people down? Or do I deliver with what I said I was going to do? Or how do I get around this problem? And there, I mean, I usually sleep pretty well, but there was a lot of times this last 6 months that just, I'd be awake at 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3. I could not go to sleep. And of course that is a vicious cycle because then you've, you know, you feel rough and the next day you feel crappier and you're not as productive. And so you have to work later. And then it's just this vicious cycle. And so, just sleep was affected. I was less patient. This is something Annie mentioned. I was less patient with my family, especially my kids. I have 3 kids. Raising kids is challenging in the best of times. Like when your mental faculties are super sharp, right? But man, I noticed myself being much less patient, much snappier with kids, and not awful. I wasn't screaming at kids or anything, but just those little interactions that can be really sweet and tender. You know, you walk home at the end of the day and your kid unloads a Nerf gun at you, and you can either go, it's amazing the direction you go, and it's not even based on what's happening objectively. It's based on your frame of mind and where you're at. If you're tired and cranky and you're preoccupied with all these other worries, you're probably not going to, you know, be able to see this as a fun chance to, you know, go tackle them and steal the gun and shoot them back and laugh and make it a fun event. You're probably just going to get upset and you know, kind of scold them. And so anyway, I noticed myself being just less patient with kids. It was a big attitude thing. Less time with the family. This was the immediate family, but also, you know, extended family. I was in Montana this summer, and there's a lot of stuff that I had to cut back, trips or just seeing time, seeing the family as much. So just less time with the family across the board. This is an interesting one I didn't realize. Annie had mentioned that I was kind of pining about a different life. And specifically, and usually I'm a pretty content guy. I love my life. I wouldn't trade my life with anyone. But she said that there was a lot of times that I would like dream about just like selling everything and just, you know, just leaving everything and taking off, to some, you know, island somewhere or a trip with the family or just kind of just jettisoning everything and disappearing. The other time that she mentioned, I think the only other time I've I don't know about the only other time. The other time I've done that in quasi-recent memory was when we lived in Montana in the winters. And yeah, I just really struggled with the winters up there. And I would constantly dream about getting in our van and just road tripping south. And it was all something, you know, probably daily basis I would talk about, which was crazy. So that was another aspect that kind of manifests itself. And then finally, the biggest one was probably just less time with Annie, in terms of time to talk and connect and downtime to be able to chat and laugh. And like those, that time that you really need to keep a relationship strong. And we still got it, but nowhere near as much as we would have liked, or as much as I think is important long-term to have. And so those are the big downsides, and I don't say these to complain or whine or anything like that. I just wanted to, again, go through them to process them, to talk about them. And then also, as you're listening, maybe to think through, like, how many of these do I feel like I'm chronically dealing with in my life? Fortunately for me, all of these projects, most of the stressors were project-based, and so they ended, you know, around the end of the year, which was, you know, and so it's going forward. A lot of them aren't as problematic, if problematic at all. But I think it's, if you think about these kind of things, and I think about it too, like, if these are chronic things that are going on month after month, year after year, like, that's something to think about and to try to make some real meaningful change, because they're real costs to being in business or to any of the other choices you have, even though sometimes we don't consider them as such. So a lot of downside. There were some really good upsides. So there's no growth without pain, right? A lot of the stuff that I did, a lot of the things that I was doing and that were stressful, they were stressful because I hadn't done them before. I had never done an ECF Capital deal before. Had never launched a website on the scale of Overlander with the size of the team that we had. And so there was things that were stressful, and you don't grow without stress. And I think that's the biggest counterpoint to this, is not to never have stress in your life. I think more of it is just be very cognizant of the trade-offs you make and don't overload yourself. I think it's probably the broader message, but grew a tremendous amount in terms of my learning over the last 6 months. Probably one of the strongest periods of learning that I've had in, you know, a long time. And so that was super cool. Along that same vein, it really expanded my network. I met lawyers that I can, you know, that I know are great, and I can use in the future. Designers. I worked with some really fantastic people that now I consider friends, and, you know, look forward to staying in touch with over the future years. So expanded my network both professionally and with friends. And a couple of things, maybe these are kind of, you know, silver linings, but man, I never appreciated working for myself as much as I have in the last 6 months. Learned a lot, had a lot of fun on these projects, worked a lot, but also I think it's easy as entrepreneurs when we leave that job, because most of us before, not all of us, but most of us had jobs before we became entrepreneurs. And that transition period is, you know, you start working for yourself and it's so amazing and intoxicating, and you appreciate so much being able to set your own schedule. Even if you're working hard, you're determining what you're working on. You know, having that change for 6 months for me, first time that's, you know, ever happened in 12 years, man, it's such a luxury to be able to determine what you get to work on when you come and sit down every day at your desk or whatever you're doing. It is such an amazing luxury. And if you are, you know, if it's been a while since you've, you know, I took that for granted. I think it's easy to take that for granted, like all things that we, you know, all luxuries that we have for any meaningful amount of time. So anyway, it made me really appreciate working for myself and be more cognizant about being very careful about in the future if I ever put that at risk. And just appreciating, you know, the business that I've been able to build over the years. And the other thing is it really sharpens your sense of priorities as well. You know, having your kids come up to you, you know, two or three times in a row and ask to do something, and having to tell them, hey, I'm sorry, I can't because I'm either, you know, working late or doing this or just not having the time or not having, you know, like I talked about with the shortened sense of patience or grace with your kids, like, you kind of get this sense of yourself after a little while about what's really important. I don't know how many people have watched Soul. It's that new Disney movie, but there's a scene in that where they show this hedge fund manager, and he's like, you know, he's unshaven and he's hunched over this desk and he's in this dimly lit room and it looks like he's been working for 15 hours, and he gets this realization where he just sits up and he goes, What am I doing with my life? And he just pushes all of the monitors off the table and stands up and screams and says, I'm alive, and runs around the room to everyone else looking at him like he's crazy. A little bit hyperbolic, but in a very small sense, it makes you really reassess your priorities and be like, how am I spending my time? Both from a family standpoint, from how you're spending just your non-working hours, to also thinking about, there's been a lot of things I thought through with the e-commerce fuel business and other things I want to do going forward in terms of how can I be really productive with my time, because I want to spend more time with family, especially kind of with this last 6 months as a contrast. But I also do want to be, I do want to be really ambitious. And so I actually have this little note card that I read many days where, you know, kind of some of the 7 or 8 things that I try to keep in mind and live by. And one of them is, I refuse to accept having to pick between a rich personal life and business ambitions. And so thinking through, how are you going to do that? Like, how are you going to be ambitious in business and also have a rich personal life? And I think if you're going to do that, you have to be ruthlessly focused and efficient. So anyway, there were some definite upsides to the whole process. It was funny. It was interesting to think about how I relaxed during this process and how I de-stressed. And again, I asked Annie about some of these things, and the ones I noticed and she noticed, talking about it, no surprise here, but hugely helpful, you know, just, and primarily, had some friends and some family, but primarily Annie was that point. So having someone you can just talk to about this stuff. And I'm not someone who tends to process out loud. This may be a shocker to you if you listen to the podcast with regularity, but I usually do most of my processing in my brain. And talking about some of this stuff was incredibly therapeutic and for de-stressing. And so if you know, that just, I noticed that. Exercise was huge. I'm not a runner. I need a ball to chase. I'm like a golden retriever. Love sports, love being outside. Not a big runner for the sake of running. But there was two or three times, especially in kind of some of the more stressful periods of the last 6 months, where I just headed out and ran around the park for 4 or 5 times and felt so much better just to get the blood pumping. Exercise was a big one. Physical touch was huge. I tend to be, I blame my mother for when I was in church as a kid, I wouldn't sit still and I was probably humiliating her. And so the only way she could get me to sit still was to like give me a back rub, like just a little back rub in church. And so this is probably way too much personal information, but we'll leave it in here. Anyway, for whatever reason, she, you know, kind of trained me back then to calm down with that. And that still happens today. And so just like a back rub is from, you know, from Annie is, it just chills me. I could sit for 7 hours straight and get a back rub, and it just drains the stress away. The other one was, and this one, I hadn't experienced this, but drinking. If I was really stressed out, I'd come home, and if I had a beer, man, I would just feel lighter. And it was on one hand, it was very comforting, because I was like, man, I just feel so much less stressed. I feel great. But on the other hand, it was kind of scary, because I have, thankfully, has never been a struggle for me in life. But I got a glimpse of how, especially if you were chronically stressed, how it would be a very easy path to start using alcohol to chill out, because it's amazing when you're stressed and then in 20 minutes you can be feeling not stressed. It's a wonderful feeling, but it's also, yeah, it's also kind of scary. So, I think just, I kind of threw a lot of stuff out there, and I think the takeaway lessons for this whole process for me, maybe some of the ones that hopefully you can take, are one, like the work that you do and your stress levels, they affect your parenting if you're a parent. They affect your relationships with your friends, and probably most importantly, they affect your relationship with your spouse. And being really cognizant about that. And so even, you know, even if you've been at a baseline for a while of low stress or high stress, like the amount you work, either in terms of the hours, the stress load, or how kind of how checked out you are mentally, it has a big bearing on how great your relationships are or how great they aren't. Another one, decide and commit carefully. It's really easy. It's kind of cliche. It's really easy to say yes and then regret things. And I don't regret doing these projects for this last 6 months. Like I said, there were some real upsides to it, and I learned a lot, met some great people. But yeah, be really careful about what you commit to. And The other, I think the along those same lines is everyone knows kind of the old saying, things usually take twice as long as you think they're going to. I would even say even apply a further fudge factor from that, because most everything is going to take, not even, even if you apply that, you're still usually off by at least a factor of 50%. So build in margin, assume worst case scenario things, assume that things are going to be, you know, not just two, but maybe even 3 or 4x times as hard as you think they're going to be. And if you're signing up for a big project, think through that. Think like, if this is going to take 3 to 4 times as much work and time and energy and stress as I am anticipating, do I still want to do it? So decide and commit carefully to things. If you're constantly dreaming about escape, it's probably time to reconsider your life. And this is something that kind of came up a little bit during this period, but even more so, I think back, kind of alluded to in the past, but lived in Montana for a number of years, and the winters were just kind of soul crushing for me. And for 2 or 3 years, just constantly was dreaming about leaving and didn't do anything. And then finally kind of just things snapped and we made a plan and we moved to Tucson. We got out of the cold winters and it has been amazing. Like, it hasn't solved all of life's problems, but it has been a materially good decision in our lives, for a lot of different reasons. So if you're constantly dreaming about escaping your life, think about what you should change and how you should change that. If you don't have anyone to talk to and confide in about what's going on, it's such a huge, huge stress reliever and such a great way for processing. And again, like I said, even if you're not a talker, even if you're an internal processor, maybe probably especially if you are not a super big, bleh, here's my life and here are my problems, I just met you kind of person. Like, you need to have that, because it's when things get hard, it's incredibly therapeutic. I think if you're in a spot that's hard right now, or you have been for a while, use it as a catalyst to reprioritize your life and what's important, because it's an amazing opportunity to do that. And in some ways, like, some of the things that I have wanted to do and I've changed in just a short time since I've kind of had more bandwidth are things that I have wanted to do for a year or two, but I never had the push to do it. It's kind of like when I quit my job and started my business for the first time. I think there's different arguments on this. I don't think I would have had the follow through to get it done and been able to work, because that first year of business is always probably the hardest for most people. I don't think I would have had the discipline and the follow through to get it done had I not had this burning image of the last 2.5 years being a slave to this financial corporation. Like, it was a really great motivator. So if you are in a hard point and a hard time right now, it's a really great opportunity to use it as a catalyst to reprioritize your life and give you the motivation you need to really make those changes. And I think finally, there's a really fine line between ambition and major life trade-offs. And we don't talk about this enough. And we all love to have our Instagram lives and seem like we're working 30 hours a week, and our wonderful family is doing great, and we're making bank, and we lift 4 times a week and eat perfectly, and just, it's not true. Like, you got to decide where your trade-offs are. And I think being willing to swap ambition and money for peace of mind and contentment and freedom, I think oftentimes is a really good trade. I think personally, I want to try to do as much as I can when I have a very clearly defined bubble about how I want my life to look outside of monetary pursuits and outside of business. But I think if you ever have to ask, like, am I willing to trade in the long term? Again, there's short periods of time where you have a business, things are stressful. There's short periods of time that you have to, you can't have a meaningful business and do things without periods of, some periods of stress. But if this is becoming something that is a medium to long term recurring stream in your life, and you're thinking like, yeah, I'm good with swapping some of my peace of mind and contentment and happiness with more money, it's a bad trade. In my opinion, medium to long term. So anyway, there's a fine line between ambition and major life trade-offs. Just recognize it, think about that, and try to make those wisely. Anyway, threw a lot out there. Thank you for listening. I promise this wasn't intended just to be a vent session. That wasn't where I was coming at it from, but crazy 6 months. Just wanted to reflect on it and be honest and candid about how it was for me. And hopefully maybe you got a few takeaways as well for your life. And these projects, like I mentioned, begin to be in January and February, doing a lot of follow-up content about the Overlander project, about the ECF Capital deal, and some other things as well. So stay tuned for those. And if you're listening and you are a seven or an eight-figure e-commerce brand and you want to be able to connect into a group of people who gets this kind of stuff, who wrestles with these kind of issues, like myself, like others, it's kind of interesting. I had this episode scheduled already in terms of wanting to talk about it. But even this last 2 weeks in the forums, we've had people open up about a lot of really personal things that are important and real, from struggling with personal and business balances to addiction issues. And it's been amazing to see people be vulnerable and talk about those things, both to ask for help and both to be able to offer help to other people, and just to talk about just stuff deeper than like email marketing and CRO and paid traffic. Because like obviously those are super important for running our business, but the human aspect, the human struggle of running a business too, it's something that, again, we don't talk about as much. And it's been amazing to see the engagement and the help and the love in the e-commerce fuel community over the last 2 or 3 weeks on some of these issues. So if you want a group of people that talks about that stuff as well, as in addition to just the tactics, check us out. You can learn more about the community and apply for membership at ecommercefuel.com. Hope you're off to a good start for the new year. Thanks so much for listening. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to coming back at you next week with a bunch of new content for the new year. Happy New Year, and talk to you soon.